My name's Duke, and I come out of a union originally that's called District 65, which was based in the northeast region of the U.S. It was a leftist, a radical union that we were kicked out of the CIO in the 1940s for refusing to give up our communist and leftist in the McCarthyist purges of the unions. District 65 survived for a significant amount of time in the U.S. under a lot of repression, not only from the bosses, but also from the AFL-CIO. In the late 80s, we tried to do some social engineering outside of the state on our own, funded by our own dues, and we went bankrupt and were swallowed by the United Auto Workers. So my experience in the labor movement developed out of my experience with the United Auto Workers. United Auto Workers aren't the most democratic union in the planet, and so that helped myself and a lot of my coworkers move towards radicalizing the workplace and radicalizing our union. And we had a significant number of battles with the International, and we were generally successful, but not always. And it was a powerful time for my personal development and my political development. Currently, I'm a union organizer for a union called AFSCME, and that's the public sector union in the States, I guess comparable to CUPE here. We're the largest union in the U.S. We have 1.4 million members, and it oftentimes appears that we have 1.4 million members and 1.2 million bureaucrats. So it's a union with a lot of really great progressive radical history, especially around the civil rights movement, and it also has the typical flaws of mainstream unions in the United States, which is these high-paid people that have nice suits and don't do much. For example, the president of the union makes $500,000 a year, and he's been president for 22 years. So that's one of the contradictions of our union. AFSCME, it's the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. I want to talk a little bit about labor in the United States, and I'll be relatively brief. But at the height of the organized labor movement in the United States, which was the late 1930s, we had 35% of the working class was organized into unions, whether they were affiliated unions, independent unions, radical unions, or the old craft style unions. And so a large segment of the working class in the United States understood that we have a different relationship to each other than we did to the boss. And as of about 2 weeks ago, the Department of Labor statistics came out on levels of unionism in the U.S., and we are currently at 8% of an organized workforce in against the boss. So there's been this long history of suppression of workers' movements, of workers' self-organization, and co-optation of workers' movements by bureaucrats and party officials and state officials. The working class in the United States currently has a lot of difficulty understanding that we're working class. We've been trained by the education system and the corporations and advertising in such ways that we've lost our history. I'd say about 99% of the workers in the United States think May Day is like some place where you dance around a pole, right? We don't know the history of our own struggles in the United States, of worker struggles. We don't know what happened in Chicago and during the fight for the 8-hour day. We've lost the knowledge of the fight against child labor that workers did, and we don't know about that stuff anymore. It's suppressed. We've lost all of this culture, and most of us are oriented towards the boss. We're not oriented towards our coworkers. We're oriented towards capital, and that's been tantamount to the decline of workers' power in the United States. And and allows things like U.S. military imperialism to go forth because people don't think to question it, and we don't evaluate our roles in society. That's the U.S. context. Over the last number of years, starting with Seattle in 99, a lot of anarchists, there was an anarchist explosion in the United States and all over North America. And as the as people came into their own and understanding anarchism and developing class consciousness in the United States, which hasn't been involved in anarchism for a long time, a lot of us looked around for struggles that we can involve ourselves in that are going to be based in class and be based in class politics and be against the ruling class and against capital. More often than not, we're finding ourselves in the mainstream labor movement because there isn't a whole lot of other options in the United States. In many ways, a traditional bureaucratic mainstream union is sadly radical in the United States, right? I mean, it's a sad concept, but it's true. The idea of being organized against your boss is a revolutionary concept for a lot of people in the United States. I spend a lot of time, most of my time, organizing new workers. There's very few unions in the U.S. that waste time organizing workers. They're mostly content with watching worker power evaporate and holding on to the last strongholds of their bureaucratic authority and nice jets and hotel rooms and stuff. But there's a small group of unions in the U.S. that have embarked on a new organizing program that's very similar to the U.S. labor movement in the early 1900s, in the sense that we're talking to workers that have never been organized before in fields that have never been organized before, and trying to build a culture of resistance against the boss in what everybody says is new ways, but it's really kind of the old same, kind of like the boss is bad and let's organize against it methodology. It's been a struggle. Unions don't want to do it, and as more and more anarchists have come out of the anti-globalization movement, more and more of this new organizing has become has taken on forms of anarchist workplace organization and strategies. Oftentimes we come up against entrenched bureaucrats, passive membership, comfy deals with between union officials and bosses, and we've had to figure out ways to organize workers in democratic lines that have absolutely nothing to do with the union structure. I've been working in Maryland for about 2 years, organizing university employees, from plumbers to carpenters to secretaries, and occasionally the odd systems analyst or computer programmer. And it's been pretty dramatic. They tried to form a union 26 years ago, and it's illegal for most public sector workers in the states to have a union. They finally got the right to have a union 2 years ago, and everybody in the state has organized in the last 2 years. And the only way we've been able to be effective in doing that is by building an autonomous worker network throughout the state that's been based on the concepts of direct action and direct democracy and personal responsibility. The onslaught of the Republican administration, both in our state and in the White House, is just bent on crushing worker power and stealing everything that we've been gaining in the last 10 years. And we actually are gaining a little bit in the last 10 years. So we've built these networks, and they've been incredibly effective. Our main strategy in terms of new organizing in Maryland has been, if there's a problem, we get 100 people and we march on the boss. And at first, the first time I tried it, I had 10 people ready to go, and we marched over to the boss, and 3 people ran away and hid behind a tree. So it was a little bit of a rocky start. But now we're to the point where if there's a problem, if a worker has a problem, or there's layoff notice coming, 100 people, 200 people will march into the administration building, and I've seen human resources directors run down the hall and slamming doors and locking them inside, afraid of the workers on their university campuses, which has been a dramatic shift. I'm going to wrap up to really explain the difference in what's been going on through these autonomous networks and militant action. The new Republican governor of the state, and it's a very conservative state, it's a very Klan heavy state. We're in the South. Baltimore is a African American city, and the rest of the state is Klan country. So when we leave Baltimore, it's a whole new planet for us. They threaten to slash jobs and cut wages and steal benefits. And 1,000 AFSCME members from this network stormed the Capitol, Annapolis, which is a very conservative town, and there's no disruption ever. And you can get a nice burger at the, shishi shop for $15, but you don't want to make any noise in that town. And 1,000 of them went, and they shut down the streets of Annapolis, and they blocked traffic and marched to the Capitol and took over the square in front of the Capitol, just taking over for about an hour and a half, holding a rally, denouncing the politicians and denouncing the state. And there's some pretty good signs about being a wage slave for the state. And workers really took ownership of their power. And then they marched into the Capitol building just as the session was starting, and they shut down the legislature for the evening. To get into the building, you have to pass through a metal detector. So those of us who work for the union weren't able to go in because we had to stay outside and hold the weapons that people had brought. The dramatic shift in militancy and activism through people understanding that if they work together and confront their oppression has changed everything in the state for the workers that were organizing. At one point, they thought they could just slash everything, and now, we marched on their capital, and then we got what we wanted. We march on the human resources director, and we get what we need. And if there's a petty tyrant of a supervisor, then a department marches on them and shuts them down, and the workers deal with it that way. Contracts, yeah, we'll negotiate a contract, but that's not where the power is. The power is in people's activism and strength and unity. That's basically the campaign I've been working on in a brief nutshell. And I would just want to say that for a long time in the U.S., and I think North America in general, except for Quebec, which is far more theoretically advanced than the rest of North America, anarchists have been relegated to obscure, overly intellectual theory that's not rooted in the working class. And, they're famous in the States for wanting to destroy language and live in caves and forage for berries as a way of changing society. And it's all nice and well, and I wish them a lot of luck. But the vast experience of the world is that we work for a living, and we're oppressed by capitalism, and something needs to be done about that. And not everybody can move to Seattle, the outskirts of Seattle, and live in a cave. I don't think there's that many caves there. So the anarchist movement in the U.S. has moved farther and farther towards class struggle and towards directly confronting our oppression. A lot of people came out of the anti-globalization movement there, and they're forming unions. Our co-members of NEPAC in Boston right now are on strike, and for their union. And by being organized in our area, we've presented a face of anarchism to traditional union activists, and those people have come to anarchism a lot of ways. And people who'd never even heard of it before thought it was pandemonium and chaos and the guy in the corner with the little bomb. And I guess I'll end there, but there's been a lot of change, and we're hoping for more.